first time we installed one of these, I'll never forget my plumber. He had never done it, and we had to, read the whole manual. It was a request from a client, and so we're there trying to figure out how to make this work. We were testing it, and we're leaning over the toilet, and I pushed the button, and my plumber had his mouth open.
No wonder you're the expert on $10,000 toilets.
I don't know that I'm that much of an expert, but I've had a few, higher dollar toilets come my way.
Well, Chris, this week we got our potty mouths on because we are talking toilets, in actual toilets, because there are some out there with price tags higher than I ever would have imagined.
Me too, Mike. And MoneyInc.com put out a list of the world's most expensive commodes, which we'll get to in a bit, and the numbers are eye-popping.
That's one of our producers, Chris Blake. I'm Mike Rogers, and this is Something Offbeat. This week, I spoke with interior designer and lifestyle influencer Charmaine Winter about the importance of a bathroom to the home and, those five-figure plus residential toilets. So, who's buying these expensive toilets?
Clients who are environmentally friendly, they are concerned about their footprint because many of these toilets, apart from the luxuries that they afford, they're also really, really good for the environment, for sustainability. And also some clients who purchase these toilets because of religious reasons, in terms of how they cleanse at certain times. So those are the ones who typically purchase from me.
You have to enlighten me on both of these now. How can a toilet be environmentally friendly? I always thought a toilet just had one job.
Well, a toilet can be way more sustainable by the amount of water that it uses to do its job, right? To excrete the waste. So, I mean, I think many of us are aware of that. It can also be much more environmentally conscious based on what it does with that water. You may have heard of, gray water and white water, and obviously dark water. So, you may know that these types of waters are good for the environment. So gray water is the water that you recycle. You use it for other things. It's relatively clean, and so it's better for the environment.
Gray water is household wastewater that can safely be used in a yard or a garden or anything you don't plan to eat. It typically comes from a sink or a washing machine or a shower or any water source that doesn't have human waste in it.
All right. And the religious reasons. Tell me about that. This has to do, you said, with the way you clean yourself.
Right. There are some cultures that do not believe in actually being able to wipe yourself after number two during certain times of the month. So for women, when they're going through their cycle, they some cultures do not believe that they're clean, and so they use a bidet type function. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Many of these toilets have a bidet function as well. So they're a toilet and a bidet. And also some lifestyles. There are some lifestyles where the type of cleanse you're going to get, how you clean yourself, it can be more comfortable than others.
These friends of ours, they've got one of those toilets that has a bidet that cleans you, but you're still going to be wet.
Well, for some of these toilets and many of the bidet toilets, they have we'll call it a blow dryer function, if you would. So it is, many of them, and the higher ticket you go, the more bells and whistles or more features you have that will help with the cleaning. And so some of them have a blow dryer type of function that will dry you, so it's completely hands-free.
What are some of the other crazy features that you see on these toilets? Because a lot of them have, like you said, a lot of bells and whistles.
So typical to the higher priced toilets is you're going to find things like comfort height. Okay. So these toilets are intended for you not to have to bend. So that's at the very basic higher end toilet. It's going to come at a 21, I mean, we're going to say anywhere from 18 inch seat height to 21, 22 inch. If you're Shaquille O'Neal, maybe a 24 inch seat height. And so that's one. Two, you typically for bidet toilets, they will have a feature that allows for you to be hands-free. So you're going to have some sort of hose that will extend, and based on the toilet and the budget, you may have a remote that allows the hose to extend forward if you want a forward clean. And it can go reverse, I guess, to the rear and give you a clean there. So it's a spray nozzle. You have then another button that you can press that can dry you, blow dry, as we talked about. There's usually a heating feature on the seat. So you can do that. They're temperature controlled. No more sitting on a cold toilet seat, which is fantastic. As the price point gets higher, then you have features like they've got sensors. So as you approach, the toilet can, the seat lid can open for you automatically, completely hands-free, which is, as I mentioned earlier, so important for those who, for religious reasons, purchase these types of toilets. Then we get into the bells and whistles. That usually comes
These aren't the bells and whistles already.
These are the basics for the higher priced toilets.
Okay,
this is the entry level. And we're only talking, you know, a few thousand here. Whereas when you can get into much higher. So then they offer additional features. Some of those features are music. You can have music while you're using the toilet. Some of those features, one of them that I'm going to tell you, one of my favorites, it has a night light, if you would. There's cleaning technology. So some of these toilets, as we get higher in the price point, they have additional features that allow for easier cleaning, if cleaning is required at all.
Mike, if I'm being honest, I don't know that I need all of these features, but a toilet that essentially cleans itself, that I can get behind.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too. And you know what? I'm okay with the nightlight. That could be helpful if you walk into a dark bathroom in the middle of the night. Some of those others, though, I don't know if they'd be worth the money.
Charmaine also mentioned that some toilets can play music. If you had to pick a genre to listen to while using the restroom, what would it be?
Oh, definitely Taylor Swift.
You may make some Swifties mad with that answer.
That's actually a question I've never thought of. You know, music to pee by. I just don't know what to say to that.
I think I'd go with like classical or jazz, something relaxing, especially if it's first thing in the morning or right before bed.
That's probably good. You know, relaxing is good to get those juices flowing.
Exactly.
What kind of prices are we talking about? It sounds like you can pretty much go as high as you want with one of these.
You definitely can spend a good bit. So price point, we're talking, because I know your show producers, when they approached me, they sent me some that I hadn't even seen. Not certain that they're that practical either, but I have price these from the very, very entry level where you're just purchasing the seat component and it's almost like a DIY retrofit type of thing. And with those, they started around $600 to $800, sort of depending on your toilet that you're going to put it on. And then my favorite, the one that I specify most often for my clients, it comes in just under $22,000.
You could redo the whole bathroom for that.
If it's really small.
Chris, $22,000 is expensive, but it's nothing compared to some of the toilets on Money's list of the 5 priciest toilets in the world.
And number 5 on that list is the Dagobert wooden toilet throne, named for a 7th century French king.
Which explains why you went with the French pronunciation instead of Dagobert.
And that goes for just over $14,000. It looks like an actual throne, features a pull chain to flush the toilet, and even includes armrests. but I will say it doesn't look terribly comfortable.
No, it really doesn't. I've seen it too. It also looks like it would take up a lot of space.
Number four on the list is a Swarovski studded toilet worth $75,000 covered in crystals.
So you think a crystal studded toilet is functional?
I think it's more functional than numbers two and three on the list, which are certainly a little bit different. One is the Moon River Art Park toilet. It's a public toilet in Shanghai, and Money Inc. estimated that that costs $750,000 and noted the line to see it sometimes stretches for more than 2 hours.
You better not have to go too badly. I think I might just use the restroom instead of waiting in that line.
Number two on the list is a gold toilet that sits in a demonstration bathroom at the Hang Feng Gold Technology Group in Hong Kong. The entire room is made of gold, and that one costs $5 million. And Mike, do you want to take a guess where the world's most expensive toilet might be?
Well, all of these that you mentioned so far are in Asia. So I'm going to go in another direction and say number one, I'll guess maybe Vegas.
This is a little bit of a trick question because it's not actually on planet Earth. It's a $19 million toilet aboard the International Space Station, and it's the most expensive toilet in history. Russia built it in 2008, and it includes leg braces to keep astronauts from floating away. It also has fans that vacuum up everything, and it can even recycle wastewater and purify it for drinking.
Well, no one would want to float away when they sit on the toilet, so that might be worth the money. And boy, you talk about an environmentally friendly toilet. Talking about bathrooms more generally, how important are they to the overall feel of a home?
A bathroom is hugely important. It's vast because next to the bedroom, I would have to say, or even the kitchen, bathrooms are function rooms, right? And so it's where most people begin the day and quite often end the day. And then you're talking about trips, right? How frequently you're using it, depending on where you are. So ensuring that the bathroom meets all those creature comforts and functions, it's key to the enjoyability and livability of the interior of your home.
What's the most extravagant bathroom you've ever designed?
Some of the more unique ones, I did have an African prince and princess, real royalty here. And they each had, not only did they have their own wing of the home for their bedroom suites, so they had independent bedrooms and then independent closet suites and independent toilet seats. But the prince, he requested two toilets because he could, because he chose to use one toilet exclusively for number two and the other for number one.
All right, Chris, you ready for some toilet trivia before we go? This time I'm going to be asking the questions.
I know the tables are turned here, but if we must, let's do it.
So we talked about the first couple to be shown in the same bed in our episode on sleep divorce, the TV couple, that is. What about the first toilet ever shown on network TV?
I'm going to take a guess and say the Brady Bunch.
Nope, it's a little bit earlier than that. In fact, a lot earlier. It was on Leave It to Beaver back, I believe, in the late 1950s. And I think the plot line was that Wally and Beaver bought a goldfish and they didn't have any place to keep the fish while they got a tank, and so they put it in the toilet. And if you have a plot line like that, it's hard to do the show without showing the toilet.
That's a relatively tame way for a toilet to make its network TV debut.
Exactly. It's not like they flushed it or anything, which leads me to this question. How about the first flushing toilet?
Well, if I was wrong on the Brady Bunch for your first question, then I'm really in the dark on this one.
But you wouldn't be if you had one of those toilets with a nightlight built in.
Really?
That's right. I had to throw that in there. No, the first flushing toilet on network TV was on All in the Family. Remember the scenes where someone would be upstairs and you just hear the toilet? You wouldn't see it, but you'd hear the toilet flushing.
I do. And more so than the answer to these trivia questions, I want to know where you store all of this trivia that we dive into on a weekly basis.
I actually have an extra brain in my fanny pack.
Well, the fact that there's a fanny pack explains a lot, too.
That's right. I'm like The Rock. I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Bree Flores, original music by Myron Kaplan, and editorial support from Cooper Mall. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, please send it to us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.